lightning and tell the masters no more. This is Nighthawk, and I say, for myself, no more. Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com, because the freedom is slipping away.
Funeral. It is sad to think that sooner or later those you love will do the same for you. And you may have thought it tragic, not to mention other adjectives, to think of all the weeping they will do. But don't you worry, no more ashes, no more sackcloth, and an armband made of black cloth will someday nevermore adorn a sleeve. For if the bomb that drops on you gets your friends and neighbors too, there'll be nobody left behind to grieve, and we will all go together when we go. What a comforting fact that is to know. Universal bereavement, an inspiring achievement. Yes, we all will go together when we go. Together when we go, all suffused with an incandescent glow. No one will have the endurance to collect on his insurance. Lloyd's of London will be loaded when they go. We will all.
This is Jim Fetzer, your host on The Raw Deal, where I have a very special guest back by popular demand, Jack Mullen. Begin today, however, I'm going to go through three sets of stories and get Jack's reaction to them because they're humdingers. And I think they make the whole situation look increasingly absurd. And I'm eager to get Jack's take on each and every one of them. I begin with the fact that we have this looting and rioting going on all across the nation. Here's Washington, D.C. Chaos continued to unfold in cities across America late Sunday night. More protesters jump on a street sign near a burning barricade near the White House late on Sunday. Philadelphia, smoke and debris at a looted hardware store in Philadelphia. Boston, protests continue to rage fury in Boston on Sunday evening where a police car was set ablaze. Atlanta, Georgia. A protester is pinned down by a police officer as cops in riot gear clash with protesters. Minneapolis looters are caught on camera hacking at a safe inside the charred shell of an abandoned police precinct, which the cops had abandoned at the instruction of the mayor. Now, here's a really concise summary of what's going on here. Listen up.
The city of Madison, Wisconsin, announced on Saturday night that they would not arrest the rioters who were looting and burning the city. But on Sunday, the city of Madison, Wisconsin, enforced a ban prohibiting Catholic churches from having more than 50 parishioners at Mass. In the state of Massachusetts last night, rioters in downtown Boston looted, burned, and destroyed. My brother-in-law watched from his window. But this morning, the city ensured that the driving range in East Longmeadow is still shut down. In California, the city of Santa Monica tweeted today, quote, "If you are supporting local cleanup efforts, please bring your own face coverings, work gloves, brooms, dustpans, and trash bin. Please stay 6 feet apart and work in small groups," end quote. Well, last night, business owners in Santa Monica were forced to stand guard with firearms and protect their own property because the incompetent liberal government refused to do their job. What I just described is every petty tyrant's dream: selective enforcement of the law, picking and choosing which laws to enforce to target innocent citizens while refusing to hold accountable under the law the violent, law-breaking mobs. And they have the audacity to pretend it's about COVID-19. Make no mistake, no matter what these petty tyrants in local government try to tell you, the government-mandated COVID-19 lockdowns are dead. The COVID lockdown is over. There is no reason to justify a single constitutionally dubious, unscientific dictate from any state or local official forcing people to keep their businesses closed or keep their kids out of school or wear a mask or stay inside their own home after this. Government-mandated extreme social distancing is dead. Why? Because putting aside the fact that scientific evidence shows that lockdowns did not stop the spread of COVID-19 anyway, putting aside the data that shows the transmission risk of COVID-19 in retail environments is low, putting aside the fact that people under the age of 24 are more likely to be struck by lightning than to die from COVID-19, our government officials have made the new social distancing rules very clear. If you protest the draconian lockdown mandates in Michigan, then you're killing granny. Basically, you are no better than the virus itself. If you go to church, God have mercy on your soul, because the First Amendment's in quarantine and your worship is non-essential. If you go to the beach, you are a vain, selfish troll. But if you gather in massive groups and you riot, you vandalize, you beat innocent shop owners, you burn down cities across America, if you pretend your anarchy is in the name of social justice, if you cry woke and decry white privilege, then go ahead and march in groups as big as you want, because the virus won't touch social justice warriors, at least according to politicians who shut down churches but refuse to shut down the riots. Therefore, make no mistake, the COVID-19 lockdowns are dead.
Jack, I thought that was simply brilliant, that she was dissecting exactly what was going on, the selective enforcement of the law, benefiting Antifa and the rioters, even if they're murdering, looting, but punishing law-abiding citizens. I find this grotesque. Your thoughts?
Well, it's been the history of, you know, the last 50 years. I mean, since I was a little tiny boy, basically. I knew by the time I got to high school, I could see this. The things that are good in our civilization that we consider good from the point of view of organic American European based culture are steadily the year after year becoming something that is more and more demonized. I mean, it's just, she mentioned the moral conundrum there of going out during the coronavirus. You know, it's moral blackmail, and you're told that if you go out, you're going to kill granny. While, you know, at the same time, they're saying it's okay to sit in restaurants as long as the restaurant's inconvenienced enough that they have to take all their stuff outside or go buy new steel chairs and junk like that. And bugs are out there, and they're on the sidewalk now. They didn't even actually have an outside place to eat. And as long as a business is willing to tolerate that and then try to spread them out a little bit, but not enough that they're too much different than inside, where there's nothing different at all. They're still handing their receipts and taking the pen from the, you know, the waitress to sign the check and so forth. I mean, it's absolute total nonsense. It's made up total garbage. And yet I see all these people doing it. And so, you know, in this case, this is an example of the left having control of civilization at this moment. And I don't want to use the word left like just the Democrats and Republic, but, you know, I'm talking about the communist Bolshevik component of the Zionist communist takedown of the world. And so, as I said before, but I love this example, Bolshevism and communism were designed as destroyers. They destroy nations, all nations. Their technique, they've been using it for now going on hundreds of years, and they infiltrate and then they create division between people. And they construct slogans, and then they pit status groups against status groups and invent identity politics until no one can decide if they like anybody. And then from there, they feed envy. And that all they had to have is an igniter. I mean, they did it. Germany from, you know, say 1920s through the beginning of World War II. They were constantly at war with these communist groups inside the country being, you know, creating and agitating until they had members and then attempting to take down the government. This technique is classic communist strategy to overthrow a civilization. Now, here's the worst part. In the United States, they're getting 100% support from our government. So, you know, it's a Yuri Bremenov moment. It explains right in front of your eyes that the United States is gone. It has been usurped. It's now under control of an outside force, which is, you know, Communist International. And so as a person like yourself and me who wants America back or thought they could get it back, there's no way to fight within this system. This system will undermine you. I mean, the governor's daughters will be found in the, you know, supporting Antifa. And so, I mean, she pointed out the obvious, but the coronavirus thing was a brilliant way to move into this stuff. At the same time, Americans are still wearing masks and staying home. These people were on the step two, which is, you know, we're going to start fires and burn it down.
Jack, you have so much to say. Here's a Wisconsin State Journal today where I reside near Madison. It was interesting. She started up. They poured paint all over a famous statue in front of the state capitol. I haven't heard of any punishment being inflicted. In fact, Madisonians seem to be going right along with the flow. It's disgusting. There was a time when I might have challenged your suggestion that this was a communist movement, but I'm no longer so disposed. Let me give you the second set of stories I want to share with you as we proceed forward. Death toll grows in national protests. And here you see, they were actually storming a truck. Get this, a FedEx truck. Watch this, Jack, because a protester gets trapped on the truck. It's pretty fascinating. They saw him trapped under the truck. Jack, I don't see how I could possibly have survived. They're even looting slow motion, trains in motion slowly. Watch this. Just incredible.
The train is moving. Train is moving, bro. Right?
That's a blue
train. Is more evil for steel. On the spot for like. Hey.
I mean, it's just massive. Looting. Unbelievable, Jack. I'm just stunned. Meanwhile, in Columbus, Ohio, this bus was stopped yesterday at Broadway and 3rd due to obstruction of traffic. There's a suspicion it was providing riot equipment. They followed up and searched and found bats, rocks, meat cleavers, axes, clubs, and other projectiles. In fact, we even have video of police cars where the cops are unloading bricks from the back of their vehicle. Thousands of protesters were arrested across the country over the weekend as major cities were the most affected areas. But, Jack, these are all Democratic-controlled cities, and they're turning around and letting them go. And get this now, absolutely stunning, just out. Washington Post publishes article noting Democrats across the nation are pushing legislation to make it illegal to call the police on black people. I mean, can you believe this? New York State Assemblyman Felix de Ortez, Democrat of Brooklyn, said on Wednesday revived a bill he first proposed in 2018 to add a hate crime enhancement to the charge of fabricating a criminal report if bias is involved. The hate crime enhancement, when applied to other criminal charges like murder or assault, can render a more severe sentence. More states, New Jersey, Minnesota, Oregon, and Washington, have recently considered bills that would criminalize calling the police when crimes haven't occurred. Some specifying calls it unlawfully discriminate or target protected classes. Here's a state senator, Xavier Valdez, a Democrat of Seattle, a sponsor of their bill, said on his website punishment could include 10 years in prison if the call directly leads to someone's death. swatting in which a 9/11 caller falsely reports a life-threatening crime, so heavily armed tactical units will swarm an innocent person's house, has disproportionately targeted communities of color, the LGBTQ community, and religious communities. You're getting a glimpse of the future with a black insurrection, Antifa insurgency across the nation. Corporate America and the entire power structure in the U.S. is firmly on the side of the black insurrection, Antifa insurgency, just as you were observing, Jack. And with demographic change putting more and more radically anti-white politicians into positions of power, you will soon see the day when it's against the law to call the police on an alleged black criminal. Even if they're breaking into your home, even if they're threatening your life, it won't matter. Black-run America, indeed. Black privilege, indeed. Democracy is just a racial headcount, and the rising tide of color is going to punish white America using state power by making it illegal to call the police on blacks. Jack, that just sounds so stunning, but it's taking place.
Right. And it's, I don't know. I mean, maybe I lived this time before, but I've seen this all a long time ago. I mean, it's a, it was like 2 years ago, the conviction rate in Baltimore for black criminals was something in the neighborhood of 5%, whereas outside of Baltimore County and the rest of the counties, the average was 62%. There are places in these cities that you can't get any justice if you're a white person attempting to protect yourself against a black or try to have blacks put in prison. They're released almost immediately. I mean, there's stories about, young black men killing some just bystanders on the street and that were white and then taken to prison and within a month or so released completely free and on the same day killing a cop. And so this is just about civilization destruction. Blacks have historically been used by the Jewish mafia to do dirty work against white people in particular, but wherever they happen to be, they can be easily mobilized to create chaos because they don't seem to ever understand that they're being manipulated. And in this particular case, it's pure manipulation or it's obvious, but no one can see it. Now, there are many, many parts of the black community don't care. They've been living under a world that's been making Spike Lee movies for years and has told them since they were, young people that whites were oppressors. And this has been in our culture. It's been a part of our mainstream pulp fiction. It's been everywhere. And so over generations, not even in counting the natural racial propensity to be more violent, these people believe that they've been mistreated by whites as a person, not seeing civilization from the higher point of view of how all this actually is directed, not by even whites, but by something much higher. And so what we have to do now is decide how long do we wait for the system to help? And you did note that these events were happening in the primarily Democratic locations, which happen to be the places where blacks and other minorities live because they vote. I mean, even Mexicans vote 2-1 Democrat in the elections. So they all end up in places where they're going to be taken care of by the white person, basically the taxpayers. And they're going to get the generosity of their government in return for their votes. So these are enclaves. I don't know what the solution is for these places. I mean, I think if I had some way to influence the world, I would say those of us like-minded, Europeans, probably primary, but anybody else who can be like-minded as well, we isolate those areas. We wall them off, call them city-states, whatever you want. We make our own area, and we protect it. There's nothing left here except going down the path that's going to destroy everybody. And so the last thing I think that we need to do is start worrying about carrying guns into the city and stopping the looting. To hell with the looting. I mean, let them loot the Walmart, Target, the Amazon superstores, you name it, whatever they got there, all these corporate giants that sold out America that are eating our very sustenance themselves. You know, they shut down all of the small business owners during the COVID fake demic, And yet at the same time, Walmart announces that their profits are up 74% in the first quarter. Or maybe it was the second quarter. You know, we're not done that yet, right? Yeah, second quarter is underway. So how is it fair that they take all the business that used to go to mom and pop who have to sit at home and maybe they can go out and eat, sit in the street while they bat flies and wear a mask trying to eat. And these companies, you know, they double their business. Or you take a company like Boeing that gets bailed out while their stock's going up when the stock market's collapsing in front of our face. So, I mean, we're just being made fools of. Mass or mockery. The white American person is being made a complete total fool of, walking around thinking that there's a virus that's going to hurt him. Doesn't notice that the total death rate to year to date is less than it was in 2018. Doesn't notice that he doesn't know anyone dying. Can't understand that the definition of a pandemic should mean that you're seeing people dying on the streets. You know, it should be like watching that nonsense movie called Contagion, which they used to prime the, you know, the pipe for this thing coming down the road. I mean, it's basically out of the same script. So I don't know what we can do about the fact that this is overwhelming us now. But what we didn't do before is something that we can't fix now. And now we have. Go ahead.
I was just going to say, I've even heard lunatic proposals to disband all police forces in the United States. I mean, have you heard anything as lunatic as that?
Well, look what they've done to police, too. I mean, it's not, they the same campaign they've been waging against white supremacist males, you know, and back in the days of Timmy McVeigh, you know, they were always infiltrating these little groups. Well, that was all BS. I mean, the groups were BS. They infiltrated them and made them the way they were. These groups were something that was provocateur. I mean, they were probably filled with entirely FBI agents. The same way all these clowns that are looting are being paid by George Soros groups. And I'm sure that guy that got run over by the tractor trailer there in your video, he's probably thinking that wasn't part of the contract. It didn't say in there that I was likely to get killed. But
He did die. He did. He couldn't hang on in front of those massive tires. The driver didn't even know he was there.
Right. And the driver will probably be charged for murder. And, you know, I see these. There was a guy in Rochester, New York, I think, that fired a shotgun in the air. Somebody in Minneapolis shot somebody coming into a store. These guys can expect that they're going to go to jail. I mean, I just did a quick little search on the Google before we started about, you know, the number of people shooting back. And then there were a lot of things in there about, am I allowed to shoot a looter? And you're not going to be able to be allowed to shoot a looter if the looter happens to be some form of an immigrant and you happen to be a white guy and you're trying to protect your little store. I mean, my recommendation is hopefully you have insurance. And for those people, just to get the hell out of town and let them have it. Let them take it.
Look how we're talking about the disintegration of America. We're talking about the massive conversion of the United States into a third world country before our very eyes with the aid and support of liberal politicians, Jack.
Yes, 100%. And, you know, I'm not going to tell you that I think that Trump's playing his part in this thing, too. But there's just too many factors here that are coincidental and they lead all the way to the White House. I mean, Trump knows this thing's staged. He knows that whatever happened to George Floyd there, you know, whether he's alive or dead, we don't have to even worry about. But we can tell by the way it was set up and how long it took and how viral it went. And we know that we've seen this in the past. I mean, what are the odds that George Floyd's family attorney is the same guy that was in the Trayvon Martin hoax? I mean, these things are just, you know, they're soup to nuts.
Jack, here's the New York Times trying to cover misinformation about George Floyd protest surges on social media. And you know what the New York Times thinks is misinformation? Arguing that George Soros, a billionaire investor and Democratic donor, is funding the spreading protests against police brutality when he's doing that. They also say conservative commentators are asserting with little evidence that Antifa, the far left anti-fascism activist movement, coordinated the riots and looting that sprang from the from the protests. Untruths, conspiracies, and other false information are running rampant online as a furor over Mr. Floyd, an African-American man who was killed last week in police custody, has built. But the misinformation is coming from the New York Times. Here we have the medical examiner in Minneapolis. George Floyd was on fentanyl, died from a heart attack, and used meth. He had a heart condition. Here's another. George Floyd worked with his killer, Derek Chauvin, on the security team for the El Nuevo Rodeo Club on Tuesday nights for much of the year before the killing. What are the odds that the cop and he would know each other, actually worked together at the same club for a year? Here's a good one. You've heard the rumor that he was involved in porn flicks. Well, here's a very tastefully edited frame from one of those, leaving no doubt about it. Here's another absolute must-see, the criminal history of George Floyd. This has just come out. Here's the guy they are using as an excuse to riot. Listen to this. George Floyd was arrested and convicted of robbing and beating a pregnant black woman after breaking into her home. He wanted money and drugs, and when she didn't have either, he pointed a gun at her pregnant stomach. Attached are photos of the court record of his conviction as well as his extensive arrest record. In the comments are full articles detailing his criminal history. Stop marching for this man. Stop posting for him. He was a monster who terrorized black women in life. Do not support him with your labor in his death. If you do, you're supporting a man who hated and harmed black women. You cannot have it both ways this time. Either you are for the safety of black women or you're saying that we don't matter compared to black men. Share, share, share. Here's another now, the official George Floyd Memorial Fund. Jackets hit over $11 million, $11 million. And one of my best research associates, Mona Alexis Presley, who cracked Las Vegas by tracking down the obituaries that had been published and discovered when they weren't merely Photoshop variations of one another. They were based on persons who died in different states or on different dates or from different causes of death. There was a George Floyd in the family, it turns out, but guess what? He died in 2013. This whole thing is a massive scam, Jack. I mean, a massive scam beyond belief.
You don't have, I mean, I don't. And how many of them have we seen? I mean, we just, it's just 9/11 part two, and it's being rolled out in two phases, you know, Corona hoax, and then followed up by this false flag event. So this 2020, the year of twins, we have the Twin Cities involved with this particular part of the second twin event of the year. And, you know, when you listen to Trump say, I'm not going to let his death go, what was his exact words? He's going to have died in vain. I mean, I hear the special messages, you know, that death is real, but this thing, if you want to pretend it's real, it's going to turn it into what we're in now, which is the takedown of the United States of America as we once knew it. And now the only question is what's next. And we knew in the middle of April that, I mean, there were reports that were being given by the government saying they were moving 10,000 National Guard to Washington, D.C., and that they would be there by May 1st. To secure, if necessary, the White House, et cetera. Now, there was nothing in that part of April that would lead us to believe that anything like this was going to happen. Certainly, the sheeple weren't going to come out and riot over there, having to stay home, lose their business, wear masks and social distance and all that other bullshit. And so they already knew a long time ago. I mean, years ago, it's probably a part of the, you know, some event 2020 that they tabletops that they were going to need those troops over there when it came time for this particular setup that they had the other night in D.C. So, you know,
now, Jack, you're a very discerning student of symbolism. And as I understand, you have noticed quite a few Masonic symbols at the scene of the George Floyd alleged death by kneeling. Could you elaborate?
Well, you know, I don't, I mean, I like to pay attention to numerology and things like that. But I don't spend much time talking about it because it's a, you know, it, now, like, for example, in 9/11, there was I guess you want to call it occult symbolism everywhere. I mean, just beginning with the Twin Towers, I mean, everything that they seem to want to do has to do with those two columns of Solomon. And, but there was just so many events. I mean, George Bush reading My Pet Goat, and there were hat tips in there to Aleister Crowley, and just I could go on and on and on. I mean, 9/11 had it everywhere, even the flight numbers, et cetera. And this particular event has its symbolism too. I mean, they were in the Twin Cities. People have done anagrams with George's name and George Floyd and gotten various things that seem interesting. I had one of them written down here. I don't know why I wrote it down here. But
you're saying Twin Cities something parallel to the Twin Towers?
Yes, Twin Cities parallel to Twin Towers. And then being, you know, we're in the double 20 years. I mean, there's just a lot of things here that have to do with that. But people saw that the car itself had the number, was it 230 on it? I think it was 230. Maybe it was 320. Anyway, they worked the number 23 into it, which they think is a symbolic number. But regardless, there's a lot of little things. The rioting started on East 33rd Street in Minneapolis. And, you know, so whatever. There's not much. You can't prove anything with any of this stuff. I mean, you could say it all you like. And we know that it's true. We know Minneapolis has a longstanding history with the Scottish Rite. It goes back into the 1800s. And it's a city that has always been Masonic. And these players are there. The Masonic order was designed by, you know, or I'd say modified by people like Adam Weishaupt for the specific purpose of undermining and destroying civilizations. And that's their entire plan. And they explained how it would be done. And the protocols of the Elders of Zion explained how it would be done. And it's not like it didn't happen that way exactly. And the thing about the Masonic order and back through the Illuminati is that all the individuals that are in charge of prosecuting and being in charge, like at the level of a governor, they most of them are, and they've made an oath to support the Masonic order above all else at any cost, at the pain of death, of having their tongues ripped out. And, you know, you tell that to the average person that's wearing a mask and they laugh at you. Nobody would do that. That's not true. They're sitting there right now protecting those that need to be protected and letting, you know, people innocently go to jail. They're ordering the state to stand down or to bring the National Guard in or closing a blind eye when a busload of Antifa shows up. That's what Masonic order does. That's what the Illuminati's plan was. Everybody would be compromised and everyone would support, in the end, the total destruction of civilization. I think what they don't understand is when it's over, the plan is for a religious fanaticism to then build another single world government in which most of those people aren't going to be welcome. They're not going to have a life. They're going to be downsized or they're going to be identified as idolaters or idolaters, and or they're not going to be willing to conform to Noahide laws and the other restrictions. And they may not even like being referred to as slaves and animals and cattle. And therefore, they're going to lose their head. And that's the sad part about this undermining of civilization. And it's like I've never been able to be part of any of any organization like this. I don't care if it's just the Rotary Club. They're part of it. They have some missions to protect their own. They have secrets, secret societies. And those secrets, I think it was John Adams wrote a book about, you know, Masonic secrets being the most dangerous thing that he thought we faced as a country in the United States at the time of his presidency. And, what was it? Captain Morgan was taken to Niagara Falls and dumped overboard in the water there because he wrote a book exposing Freemasonry. So, yes, they're part of this thing, and there's a lot of symbolism in there, and there always will be. But what we now have to do is decide how we're going to be able to make some sort of stand against what's coming to our neighborhoods. And then what is next? How are they going to bring it to a little a country neighborhood like where I live, out in the middle of a peaceful place where no one sees any of this yet? How are they going to come to your door? And I think I know what they're going to do with that. I think I know what's the next step. Go ahead.
To your next step, Jack, but I just want to point out more of the political developments. Barack Obama just gave a talk just now. Very relaxed, not, in my opinion, at all inspiring. He's really not very good when he doesn't have a teleprompter. But he has been published how to make this moment the turning point for real change, that it's going to be up to a new generation of activists to shape strategies that best fit the times. It seems like it's all totally fraudulent. It turns out if you look at the racial composition of the United States, the blacks or African Americans are 12.6%. If you go into a Congress, there's like 56 members of Congress out of 350, that's like 19%. So you got a higher percentage in Congress than you have in the population at large. When you look at the murder of blacks and whites in the U.S., the number of whites killed by blacks is very substantial. The number of whites killed by whites is very substantial. The number of blacks killed by blacks is like five times as many, but the number of blacks killed by whites is minuscule, minuscule. I mean, it's ridiculous, Jack, that this should be what Black Lives Matter is protesting. Meanwhile, we're getting a lot of disinformation. Again, from the New York, this is from this liberal outlook. White supremacist group posed as Antifa, right? So it's not really Antifa, it's white supremacists dressed up as Antifa. Here you got a guy out of Fox, L.A., learning that the LAPD had arrested a Gregory Wong while he was dressed as a National Guard member, armed to the teeth, and booked on assault weapons charges. So there you have an Antifa member who's actually posing to be National Guard. And meanwhile, a friend of mine, Jeff, in Cleveland, was actually solicited to participate in these riots midweek. We want people set to enhance quality of life and begin earning $1,000 each day by the end of the week. Really serious only. Jack, this is just ridiculous what's going on here.
Yeah, and you can see who's got to be paying the bills there. Got to be some bankers behind that. You can't get that kind of money for, you know, if you started up a new Google and it works. So, yes, this is well-financed, and Communism International is very well-financed. It's financed from the core of the Zionist banking cartel system. And anyways,
you were talking about the next step, Jack.
Yeah, and I'm going to get that. I was going to just suggest real quick, if you look at a city like Chicago, you remember the so-called white supremacist shooter there at that Walmart in Texas. I can't remember when that was, but so many things have happened since then. But
Jack coming in, he had trousers with big cargo pockets on the side. Going out, the cargo pockets had disappeared. So what did he do? Decide, while I'm here at Walmart shooting it up, I'm going to pick up a new pair of trowel?
Well, you might as well probably went in and tried them on. The thing is, we knew that wasn't real either. And at the same time, though, in Chicago, on that same day, there were six mass shootings. There was something like 56 people shot and eight or nine dead in these different mass shootings. This happens all the time, not a minute's worth of mainstream media attention. They couldn't give a rat's behind whether there's little wars going on in these black inner cities that have been, you know, perpetrated by the same people because they deliver them weapons. I mean, the Clintons, Bill Clinton was involved with delivering weapons to gangs in L.A. Back in the days when he was president. So they have been undermining civilization in this way, preparing for this, arming these people for decades. And the time has finally come. I mean, I think it came because people were waking up quickly on the internet, especially to the menace of this Zionist takedown of the world and this, you know, the stuff going on with Trump and the Third Temple. And so anyway, the next step in this particular thing, before we get to the beheadings, is going to be how do they get to the smaller, areas where you still have peaceful enclaves of people that both black and white that want to live and not be bothered by this garbage. And, it's going to have to do with this social tracking stuff. I mean, this, these tracking applications for COVID that they're putting on cell phones and are monitoring from different aspects, including satellite. And then it'll come with a wave of testing. And then from that, it'll be the immunizations that they're planning to deploy. And that's how they'll force their way onto your property and into your life and then begin to do whatever is necessary at that point, depending on how many people say, I'm not going to take your test. I'm not going to take your vaccines. How about getting the hell off my property? And that sort of thing. So that's one of the reasons they're mobilizing the military, because it's a big project. They have to, you know, it'd be like going through Afghanistan and trying to flush out all the enemy or on one of the islands at Japan during World War II. You know, it was just almost an undaunting job to try to find out where all the people that they hadn't been in touch with. These maniacs plan to put a needle in the arm of every person on the planet. I mean, it's crazy that there's not even a word for it. It doesn't come under, I mean, yeah, they're psychopaths, but this thing is bigger and beyond just being having a psychopathic personality disorder. You may be somebody with no empathy and love to kill and whatever, and a psychopath's not necessarily love to kill, but the ones that do are very dangerous. And so I was paying attention to, and I don't know if you have another slide you want to go to here, but I was going to segue into my virus talk.
Yeah, I do have one more, and then we can turn if you like. Let me see if I'm right about the sequence. Oh, well, here's something fitting exactly. This is Israel Cohen in 1879 to 1961. We must realize that our party's most powerful weapon is racial tensions. By propounding into the consciousness of the dark races that for centuries they have been oppressed by whites, we can mold them to the program of the Communist Party. In America, we will aim for subtle victory. While inflaming the Negro minority against the whites, we will endeavor to instill in the whites a guilt complex for their exploitation of the Negroes. We will aid the Negroes to rise in prominence in every walk of life, in the professions, and in the world of sports and entertainment. With this prestige, the Negro will be able to intermarry with the whites and begin a process which will deliver America to our cause. Jack, that's about as thematic with what you have been telling us as anything I can imagine.
Yeah, that was from a book, Racial Something. And I can't remember. And they wiped out every copy of that book. I mean, they went around and ripped out of every library everywhere that book, probably because of that particular thing. But that, those exact words, plus or minus, are in the protocols of the Elders of Zion. You can see it in the words of the clergy plan. I mean, it's not something that's been, well hidden. And it's, so that it goes back to how long has this been happening? You didn't get told this in high school. I mean, I'm in high school in the 70s, so I'm not hearing that there's a ongoing plan to undermine our civilization and to install a one world government, and it's going to involve communism. We're being told at the time that communism failed and it was, a disaster economically. Of course it was. I mean, it was a system that only survived on theft. And after you've stolen everything, you don't have anything else to eat. So, but it's incredible. I'm trying to think of the guy's name that G. Edward Griffin interviewed back in the 1950s, Norman, what was his last name? I'll think of it in a second, but this was a guy that was on the Congressional Reese Commission, back in the 1950s, where they were investigating these tax-free endowments and funds like the Carnegie Foundation and the Ford Foundation and the numerous others. And I feel sorry for Henry Ford, because Henry Ford was one of the greatest men that ever lived. And he courageously spent several years writing and helping being written and paying millions of dollars in investigation to write the book, The International Jew, and have it published in his paper, The Dearborn Express. And that, if anyone gets a chance to buy the book, The Synagogue of Satan, and you can get that at through David Moonrock Books, that book is it reprints the entire International Jew, a fantastic, educated, well-researched expose on what was happening to the United States in the 1920s, how it had begun in the 1800s, and how he expected it to continue, you know, on into the future. Nothing has changed. Everything that he described in the 1920s happened here. It's happened in the last 10 years, only it's become greater and greater, and it can't be opposed. during the period that he was alive in those days, that there were people who rose up and pushed some of this back. But those people are gone. I mean, they've probably been gone since the Church Commission, you know, back in the 70s or whenever that happened. And so anyway, it was Norman Dodds, and he discussed for the Congressional Reese Commission, his research had discovered that these tax-free funds,
foundations,
endowments, whatever they were called, were 100% set up to undermine civilization. They were there to change the educational system so that it would reflect Rockefeller's idea that we were produced not thinkers and not contributors and not writers, but rather workers. And his last line in that wonderful interview was that he found that their comment was that from when he spoke to the people, I think it was at the Carnegie Foundation, that they were following a plan to make the United States fit into the Soviet Union model so that the two nations could conceivably be merged as one. And that's in the 1950s. So, you know, the takedown's way old and nobody did much about it. We watched our immigration laws be changed. We watched them attack the gun laws over the years. We've seen them totally dismantle all financial crimes, basically. I mean, the stuff that's being done on Wall Street, the various ways that naked short selling can undermine the rigging of the financial markets that we have today is unheard of. I mean, there's nothing real about it at all. And now they're in full blown loot mode. They're looting the entire United States. They're cleaning it up. They're nationalizing everything. Their product is debt, and they're creating it at a rate never before known in the history of the world. And you know, it's interesting because back in the 1980s and 90s, when we talked about deficits and stuff, we used the word billions and thought it was a lot of money. Then all of a sudden, they just switched it to trillions and with no fanfare. You know, all of a sudden, we don't even talk about billions anymore. It's only trillions for everything.
Jack, you're so spot on. I want to share the one commentator who seems to me to understand what's going on, Tucker Carlson. I want to play part of what he had to say the other night, which seems to me to be spot on and reflects the power of satire. Listen to Tucker.
If you've been watching any of the coverage from Minneapolis today about what happened last night, you know perfectly well that what's happening on the streets there, no matter what it may look like, is actually a quest for justice. It's a long overdue search for answers by legitimately frustrated protesters who, if we're going to be honest about it, have been oppressed for so long they can no longer stand idle. What you're seeing in Minneapolis is democracy in its purest form. Effectively, it's a political rally. Here was a representative scene last night.
This is literally the craziest stunt I've ever seen right now. This is Target right now.
Now, wait a second, you may be thinking. That didn't look like a political rally. Those people look like looters. They were smashing cash registers with hammers to steal other people's money. Well, yes, technically they were doing that. And yes, as a factual matter, they were smashing the cash registers because they had already stolen everything else in the store. So no, it doesn't look like conventional political activism. But before you judge them, keep in mind it could have been far worse. It's not like they were doing something immoral, like protesting Gretchen Whitmer's coronavirus lockdowns in Michigan. That would have been a different story.
Black people's right to protest is secondary to white people's right to be an armed protest with long guns, terrifying looking war weapons.
This is how the protest of Floyd's death ended up. Police in riot gear, flooding the streets with tear gas and shooting rubber bullets into the crowd. Huh. Another example of how this pandemic has been a kind of blacklight, exposing all the inequalities in American life.
That's the meme that's going around right now with the cops, with the black kid on the ground saying hello to the white guy in camo with the AK-47 and the mask who was protesting in Michigan. That when it's white people with guns and they're out and they're angry and their faces with cops.
Didn't see any of that.
Everybody's civil.
It's as if some people are accorded the rights of citizenship and other folks are just expected to be obedient. These folks ended up in the state capitol, Craig, with automatic weapons. And they were treated with kid gloves.
Oh, you see, it's not at all like those fascists in Michigan. In Minneapolis, there's a reason people doing it. A legitimate reason. Even the cash register smashers. They were civilly smashing the cash register. So relax. And by the way, the cash registers deserved it anyway. As Joy Reid suggests on MSNBC, they're probably European cash registers and therefore complicit in oppression.
Europeans came to this country to get away from being subjects of the kings in Europe. But what they did was they created for themselves sort of a kingdom, every man a king. But the subjects are black people, these armed white men who can get armed up and walk into a state capitol. And that's okay. And the police are benign. They don't even act afraid. But let black people show up and protest the death of an innocent black man, and suddenly, you know what? We need tear gas. We got to go full force. Charlottesville, the same thing. The police were there to protect the people who were marching as neo-Nazis, not to protect the black people.
So who watches Joy Reid, you may be wondering? Well, it turns out the people who run Minneapolis apparently watch Joy Reid. As their city crumbled around them, local leaders huddled in deliberation. They emerged with a plan. They declared that racism is, quote, a national emergency. CNN immediately trumpeted the development as if it were breaking news. Meanwhile, mobs in downtown Minneapolis kept looting, stores kept burning. Normal people of all colors huddled indoors, terrified. No one bothered to explain how any of this was connected. How exactly does racism have anything to do with looting ATM machines or stealing PlayStations from Target? It's confusing. What we do know is that riots are now acceptable because racism is a national emergency. That's the new standard. Okay, so now that we're in a state of national emergency, the question is, what is not acceptable? What's not okay? Anything? Here's what some of the, quote, protesters were chanting last night in Minneapolis. So you're not going to see that clip on CNN. How come? It's simple. Facts like this, and there are a lot of them, challenge the carefully constructed storyline that our leaders richly profit from. Therefore, those facts must be suppressed. For example, practically every day we're told that white cops are a mortal threat to black men, and some are, obviously. It's what started this whole thing. A black man was killed by the police. It's awful. But what are the national numbers on this? Well, actually, we know the answer. A study from last year found that white police officers were less likely to shoot and kill non-white suspects than non-white police officers were. In any given year, police kill more white suspects, armed and unarmed, than black suspects. And that's a fact, by the way. It's not political propaganda. It's provably true. Yet no one on television will ever say that because that fact threatens the scams they're working. Eddie Glaude Jr. might be the living embodiment of this phenomenon. If you've ever wondered whether yelling racist at the people you want things from is an effective business plan, Eddie Glaude is living proof that indeed it is. By regularly screaming racist, Glaude has been able to ride a mediocre academic career all the way to an endowed professorship at Princeton. It's a job with such high pay and so few actual requirements that Glaude can dress like a British lord and spend much of his day shuttling by limo between cable news hits. Talk about a sweet gig. As long as Eddie Glaude continues to denounce people as racist, the right people, he can probably keep that job forever. So naturally, Eddie Glaude has no interest in explaining how exactly racism makes people loot Target. It just does, okay? And if you disagree with that premise, you're a racist yourself, so shut up.
Jack, I gotta tell you, to me, it's just shocking to see a once great university from which I myself graduated in 1962 turn into a bastion, a haven for a racist provocateur like this guy, to me, that's just shameful and embarrassing. But it seemed to me Tucker got it exactly right, that the whole situation is laden with hypocrisy. There are all kinds of provocateurs. This Joy Reid from MSNBC is a harebrained, but she's a propagandist, and she just shovels more and more bullshit every single day. And I'm sad to say a lot of people may actually be affected by her words.
Endless number of people. I mean, the news media is dominated by the people that are controlling this takedown and the same people that are funding the Antifa bus. And unfortunately, Tucker's got it correct, but he's also flaming the same fire. Fox News represents the other part of the dialectic they've got set up here that pitted the white grassroots American against the entire world, basically. I mean, all the immigrants, all their own indigenous black people, and then against the age-old hatred of white people that we saw in the 20th century by the Jewish establishment that maintained control of World War II. And World War II was about destroying white people. It was about decimating Germany and never letting them live again. And that continues. And it was about wiping out the very best of white people, the brightest and best looking in Russia. And that happened there. And we don't know that, you know, it's not going to start up again. But they killed and killed and killed for decades getting rid of white people. The Kalergi plan said that Europeans would become a brown racial mix that appeared like Egyptians, and that it would be mixing blacks with Asians to create this look. And Kalergi was, you know, saying these things back in the 20s. And it's everywhere. It's just right in front of our face what's happening. But we cannot... I mean, I say we. I'm talking about the people that are on the other end of this, the white people that are going to be destroyed by this.
Exterminated if they have their way.
Yeah. If you continue to believe in Trump, if you continue to believe that Fox News is actually run by anybody but the same team, whether or not Tucker Carlson, in his own personal view, is one of us or not, if you believe in those things.
Mitchell is here to take your call, 540-352-4452. I'll repeat after the break. Stand by. Call it back, Mullen to me. We'll be here.
You're listening to Revolution Radio at freedomslips.com. We'll be right back after this message.
Be evasive.
But that doesn't mean that they're telling the truth as opposed to fiction.
And Genesis chapter 6, verse 4, and there were giants in the earth in those days, and also after that, when the sons of God came and unto the daughters of men, indicating that there were giants before the Nephilim.
And sons of God, plural. They weren't talking about Jesus coming down.
No, that's right, yeah. Uh-huh.
I'm Steve Crawford, host of Factor Theory Live. Join me every Sunday night from 10 p.m. till midnight Eastern Standard Time on Revolution Radio at freedomslips.com. Check it out.
Hello, my name is Mr. Rowe. I am the host of Reality Extraction on Revolution Radio at freedomslips.com. I utilize logic, intellect, and magic to methodically autonomize, vivisect, analyze, examine, study, scrutinize, and extract an essence of reality from a fog of illusion and confusion. You can find me on Studio B every Thursday at 1700 hours Pacific Time. That's 8 p.m. Eastern. No topic taboo, no subject too strange. I strive to take a neutral standpoint during the dissection of the topic at hand. That's Reality Extraction with Mr. Rowe on Revolution Radio.
If you think for one second that the Capitol will ever treat us fairly, you are what they do, and we must fight back. You can torture us and bomb us. Fire is catching. And if we burn, you burn with us.
Good evening.
Are you awake yet? I hope. We've tried and we've tried for years and years to use passive resistance and loud voices to make a change. The time is over. Your governments around the world have no other goal than to decimate your entire existence at the hands of the bankers and the elites. The war is coming, and it's your choice to decide if you want to be a warrior or a victim. Denial is not a choice anymore. Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com, the number one listener-supported radio station on the planet. Not giving up. Revolution Radio. All right. Thanks for listening while we took that short break here at Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com. And now we're going to get back to your host.
Jim Fetzer with my special guest, Jack Mullen. Remember the call-in number, 540-352-4452. I repeat, 540-352-4452. We already have a couple callers for you on the line, Jack. Let me just add, by the way, I'm not quite as pessimistic about Fox. I think Tucker's really excellent, and Laura's pretty good. Hannity seems to me to have receded into the background. And I still hold out hope for Donald Trump, but I realize we have contrasting points of view. As I've often observed, I don't learn from people with whom I agree, so I'm, of course, delighted to have you here. Our first caller from the District of Criminals, Giuseppe, join the conversation, my friend.
Hello, Professor and Jack. Excellent show. I just am astounded at the level of malignancy that is occurring in this once great nation. I mean, it's literal insanity from weaponized minorities. Everything that Jack has pointed out is so dead on true. And to expand it, the classic concept is called the kosher sandwich, which communism, Bolshevism is one slice of bread, and Zionism is the other, the bankers and the fascists. And so now you've got the Zionists controlling all the media and vilifying whites, and they're trying, and the Bolsheviks poisoning the minds of these weak young people and these weak-minded blacks, to the point where you look at any statistics, for example, the Bureau of Justice Statistics National Crime Victimization Survey of 2018, interracial violent crime incidents, 547,948 were performed by blacks against white, 365,299 were Hispanics on white. White on blacks will round it up 60,000. So you're talking about a 10 times greater violent exposition of blacks on whites. And then if you take a look, 9% of blacks make up the U.S. population today, yet they commit nearly 50% of all murders. And right now, adjusted for, the small or quantity of the population, the black population, essentially blacks commit 25 times more violent assaults and murders, blacks against whites, than whites do against black. Yet with this vile mind control and poisoning by the Bolsheviks, that, and now it's the techno-Bolsheviks with all the social media and conditioning. The blacks fear for their existence when they are the violent, immature, weak-minded individuals who are dangerous to the white population. But the fact is the kosher sandwich wants to destroy the white population. And that is what we're seeing. And that's why they go after Trump no matter what, because Trump was elected by whites. And sadly, so many of the whites don't realize their very existence, their very way of life is under attack. And it's going to be destroyed if we don't rise up, band together, and fight back.
Yeah, I think you make good points, Giuseppe. Jack, go ahead.
Well, I appreciate the comments that you made. Thank you. the issue of crime, I mean, whites have always had peaceful societies. Whites have always had a higher appreciation for contract and property type law. I mean, they developed that type of law that protected rights and put a high value on honest contracts. They were a high trust society, and the crime rates were always virtually none. If you look at the United States, say prior to the 1965 or was it four Immigration Act, it was the crime rate was virtually just noise. It was just the standard tenth of a percent of 100 out of 100,000 murders, for example, that you find in civilizations where you just go through normal frictions that cause people to shoot each other once in a while. But directly proportional to the change in the immigration laws, crime rates went up. And as a result of that and growing populations of welfare-dependent groups in cities that were also made slaves of things like the drug culture and then handed weapons. And then the media that they weren't able to understand were programming them, called them a victim, giving them victim status and naming the white person as the reason why they have that status. You put these things all together and you have something that's incomprehensible. And it's not going to be able to be unraveled by talking about it. I mean, it's going to take generations to fix this sort of thing and separation and cooling. And so, you know, it's not, I just can't say enough about the fact that people are not all created equal. And the United States came up with the founding fathers came up with the idea that, you know, they were going to create their own nation. And they unfortunately said all men are created equal when they were talking about all men that were going to be in their nation were created equal. And they had a very
What they really meant, Jack, was not to contradict the obvious differences in height, weight, build, strength, intelligence, talent, and so forth that differentiate people who are manifestly not all equal, but rather to espouse the idea of treating everyone equally in the eyes of the law, that everyone is supposed to adhere to the same legal principles, be judged by the same standard, not be deprived of life, liberty, or property without due process of law, which is why that early commentator about the selective enforcement of the law is so devastating to the American ideal, because that's precisely the opposite of equal justice under law.
Well, that's the entire third world's understanding of law. It's selective and, you know, usually involves bribery or some sort of caste system or you name it. You want to see example where, you know, they would like us to go look at what happened to South Africa when they gave up their nation and handed it over to Nelson Mandela and his band of criminals that were communists. And the ANC party was communist. And
they went about slaughtering the white farmers who'd made the country great.
And they took South Africa at the time in the 1990s when it was taken down was probably in the top three most advanced civilizations in the world. I mean, they developed the first heart surgery Dr. Christian Bernard, in 1962, 1964, somewhere in there, they had built their own subway systems and mass transportation. They even built their own cars and military planes, and they were amazing. And their cities were clean, and it was extremely peaceful. And so under the worldwide pressure of international Jewry, they handed their beautiful world over to the enemy, communism. And now we see that a third of them, of the remaining, are living in the streets or have been run off their property and living in tent cities. And
Jack, I think that parallel with South Africa is very appropriate to the United States. We have four other callers standing by. Giuseppe, I want you to hang on there, but I want to bring in Chicago Brew. Brew, you're on.
Yeah, not enough people are pointing out the Floyd background. You know, this guy is, there's nefarious activity at that club. This nightclub that they were at was no saint, just, you know, go there, hang out, party, and whatever. There's reports of fentanyl being trafficked through there and so on, and, you know, that the fact that these cop, the alleged cop and Floyd knew each other. Floyd's background having to do with the rap music industry. He knows NBA stars. He's actually, and I looked it up. I'm not ashamed to say it. It's research here that he is, that Floyd participated in porn flicks, whether both heterosexual and gay sex. I don't know. Some other people started saying that the cop was involved in the porn industry as well, but I don't know. I didn't see that part.
You didn't see the video, but we had a frame from one of his porn movies that was tastefully obfuscated, Brew, but we showed it right on the show when you see the video version.
Again, you're referencing Floyd, correct?
Yes.
So, yeah, but somebody somewhere else, somebody said the cop was also part of that scene. I don't know about that. But, you know, Brooks Agnew reported Sunday night that there was an influx of $900,000 of counterfeit American dollars and $1 bills that went into Minneapolis and was seized just the week before all this hit the fan. Now, if we know the initial story where Floyd was allegedly passing counterfeit monies, allegedly $20 bill, and how the apprehension and all this leads to a death is beyond any of us, because we see a theatrical film production here, basically, is what I see. But this has something to play with it. And again, there's fentanyl stories going out there that has to do with that club, that nightclub, and so on and so forth. I
impression it always been, Brew, that counterfeiting ones was kind of pointless because you're running the risk and it's such a small denomination, but maybe done in large quantity, you know, it's actually highly profitable.
Right. Well, they can counterfeit up to $20 bills because counterfeiting 100 is harder because they got the strip in it. But, you know, whether it be $1 bills or $5 bills or 10 or whatever, still $1 bills, imagine floating throughout, you know, various neighborhoods. It goes into laundry machines, it goes to corner convenience stores and so on. That is enough to start a destruction of an economy. But again, we have the Chinese involved with this. This whole thing is a communist bum rush. What we have here was just no coincidence. All right, they've been working on this whole project for a very long time. You have characters like Ocasio-Cortez, she's part of this. You have Ellis, he's part of this. You know, just Obama, the OFA, Obama for Action Committee, they're funding all the BLM and the Antifa efforts. The funding is out the door and through the roof of who is funding all this. These people showed up in gear, with weapons, with paraphernalia, with instructions, with contracts, with, you know, whoever wasn't involved already prepaid and pre-instructed were getting instructed on the streets for anyone that was gullible enough to show up thinking, oh, we're going to protest because this looks so real. We're going to get involved, and people are getting paid on the street to destroy it. Look, you had phase one, COVID, lock people up, get people scared, get them in their homes, destroy their income. People, mom and pop stores getting shut down while all the oligarchs and the Home Depots and Amazons and whatever just beefed up their revenues. And they were the only ones able to work. And they were essential workers, non-essential workers. And you just run that out. And people are now get to the point that they're so fed up. Phase two, they run it. They run out this in the can film shoot with this George Floyd character, and then with that was the people to come out and protest. Everybody had a role to play. You had your peaceful protesters, they go out. Then you have your violent protesters, they go out. Then you have your Antifa group, your BLM. And then you got BLM that, you know, they're just, oh, we think we're doing Black Lives Matter. Oh, we're just activists. And then you had the ones that go, no, we're here to destroy things. And the same thing with the Antifa group and so on. Where's Antifa been for the last 2 years? They've been training. They've been underground. People are like, where's Antifa? Where's Antifa? Oh, those pussies, blah, blah, blah. No, they were training them. They were training them how to hit, beat, this, that, be evasive, hit and run. They've been training them underground for 2 years, and now, boom. Where have they been? Now they're all over the place. They're in every single darn city that all this stuff is going on. And the Black Lives Matter and so on. They all have been quiet. They've been waiting for this to happen. This was the event. Now, what do you get? Before, you were being protected from the invisible enemy. We didn't want people to get sick. We didn't want people to get spread with this COVID thing. So you had to stay in your home, shut down your business, wait for your welfare check. And now people are trying, hey, it's summertime, let's get out of the house. They're locking you up again. Now you got to stay at home, not to be harmed, not to be violated, not to whatever. But you think you're going to open your store, the coast is clear? You think you're going to go back to work? You think you're going to open your business? We're destroying your business. Now you got no place to go back to because we just destroyed it. Okay?
Let's look at Jack say a few words here. And we do have several other callers, but I want you to hang on. I want you to stay on the line, Brew. Jack.
I gotta agree with him. I mean, he sees what's happening here. And some of the people that he's mentioning were in hiding. They're not going to be out because they generally don't work well and don't make enough money to do this sort of thing on their own. They have to be paid to do it and put into groups and then shipped around buses like they did at Charlottesville. And another thing that bothers me about our civilization is that we have to sit as a people and be bombarded with lies 24/7 about everything. And then the media has to reinforce endlessly the lies. You know, we heard in that newscast that you showed a few minutes ago, the lady talking about Charlottesville and, you know, and people walking around as neo-Nazis. And so there's a white jab there. We had the governor of Minnesota saying that white supremacists were the people that were coming in and causing all these riots. He said that at the beginning. So, you know, that was a white man who looked like he's never worked a day in his life.
That's just idiotic, Jack. That's just idiotic. I can't believe the monstrosity of the lies are shoveling. It's all complete bullshit.
And it won't end. I want to get the comments about vaccines in a little bit because vaccines are part of this. You know, if you notice how many times every time they're ever presented with anything about a vaccine from mainstream, it starts out with safe and effective. And so they use these little lying slogans that they just throw in constantly to bombard your mind. And so anytime there's an issue in this world now, it's a white supremacist. And it's funny, we never hear a thing about Jewish supremacy when that is the most supremacist tribe on the earth, with overtly supremacist.
Yeah, they don't make any bones about it. You're right. They openly declare they are the superior race and all the other races exist only to serve them.
Absolutely. If you want to read a horror story, read the Old Testament. I mean, it is the most gut-wrenching, blood-filled, vengeful, hateful destruction of everybody that doesn't happen to be in the tribe that you could ever dream up. I mean, everything from children's heads being cut off and thrown into baskets and offered as a tribute to burning kids alive, you know, your firstborn. It's just horrible. And those same ideas are fueling the fire They were involved with the French Revolution. They were involved with the English Revolution. They were involved with the Bolshevik Revolution. And these revolutions were done on purpose. And it was my contention that I've been telling you for some number of months that we'll be experiencing the fourth revolution, which is the one coming now. Mm-hmm. And it is the final in their plans. But these revolutions were all designed to create civil disorder and then undo hundreds, if not thousands, of years of civilization, and they did so. And each one of these revolutions just became the stepping stone for the next one. And they're approximately the same number of years apart, you know, somewhere between 110 and 170 years. And so it's just coming on the time schedule. And unfortunately, we're stuck with living in this time period. I wish I could remember that quote from Lord of the Rings where Gandalf said that, you know, it's not ours to decide where we live, but only to decide what we can do with the time we have, something like that. And that's what we got to figure out now is how can we protect our families, our loved ones, and make steps that can maybe get the right people in the right place to protect themselves against.
Well,
the rest
stock
of us
up on ammo and practice your marksmanship for openers. We have Chase from California. Chase, join the conversation.
Hey, thank you, Mr. Fetzer. And thank you, Mr. Mullen. I am so disgusted with my fellow whites kneeling and asking for forgiveness from any black person that just taps them on the shoulder. I mean, this is disgusting. I swear to you, I never thought I would see this, and I'm looking at it, and there's multiple accounts of this happening. And then people trying to justify what these savages of all races are doing to innocent people, good people trying to justify these acts, you know, my own mother trying to justify to me these acts, it's just insane. And so I'm going to be a little selfish here, and I'm just going to ask Mr. Mullen, and maybe you too, Mr. Fetzer. Mr. Mullen, you said something in the first hour about perhaps moving to a different location. Well, I'm in California, and I'm probably in my city. There's 20% Caucasian, and I don't feel safe. And I'm looking maybe for some guidance. Where should I move my family to? I have three little kids, and I don't want to live in California another day, you know? And I've spent the past couple of days just focused on Google Maps, just looking at different states. I'm looking at Montana, Idaho. I have family from the suburbs of Milwaukee, close to you there, Mr. Fetzer, in New Berlin, or close to West Dallas, Muskego. But can you guys point me in the right direction here? Is there any place that I should be looking
into? I wonder if Idaho might not be inviting. I mean, I'd welcome Jack's thoughts. I've certainly heard good things about the Boise area and so forth. Jack, your thoughts?
Well, a lot of people are in Idaho for that reason. I met a man not too long ago that was teaching a cybersecurity class that I was in, and he was talking. He was from Idaho. He felt pretty much like we are, and he thought that was a safe place. I've seen him do a bunch of dumb stuff there too, but it's got a large white population, and it's, you know, structured in the old fashioned American way. It's, you'd probably feel pretty at home there. A couple other places, that I've looked at, like South Dakota. It right now is either number one or number two in overall freedoms in the United States. And there are a number of things about South Dakota that I really like. None of these states can long persist unless they if they don't put up some barriers to prevent people from coming in.
Is it South Dakota or North that has its own state bank and everyone is thriving because they're not charging interest for their own citizens, but supporting them? Check that out. Chase, that might make a difference. North or South Dakota, one has their own state bank, and they're thriving financially better than any other state in the union.
Yeah, I believe that's
North Dakota. Thank you very much.
North Dakota doesn't show up as free as South Dakota. That's, you know, one of the things I like about South Dakota is they've got a law right now that they're working on to prevent mandatory vaccines. But, yeah, if you're going to stay in the United States, you know, Mexico is not a bad place to be. A lot of communities down there are expatriate whites, and we're told that it's scary and, you know, dangerous and all that, but it's mostly made up. I mean, it's just propaganda to keep you in this cage. And so all I can say is good luck and keep your eye on the news. And you know, the alternative media and see if there's a natural movement of these, of our people, someplace where it just happens. It's spontaneous.
Chase, I think that mandatory vaccine thing is very, very important. None of us should be subjected to mandatory vaccinations. They have all kinds of terrifying effects. A Bill Gates vaccine in India actually paralyzed 500,000 kids. The H1N1 vaccine causes brain damage. Well, the use of the vaccines routinely with mercury and aluminum bases have caused autism. Some project that by 2050, at the rate we're going, half our kids will be autistic. Beware of vaccines. I think that's an important consideration. I'm glad Jack mentioned. I'm glad you called, too. Let me turn to Mark. Mark in Texas, join the conversation.
Hey, guys. Can you hear me okay?
Yes, yes.
Well, the foundation of my philosophy is that there are no accidents. And what you're seeing now is the media controlling the minds of the people. And I was just reading Jack Mullen's article on psychological terrorism, A Brave New World. So we're in it, and it looks like it is going down. Everything that we always heard would happen someday. And there's really no place to run because they'll hit us with another man-made bioweapon. And it's very disheartening. And it's especially hard to be knowledgeable and see all these people acting like such idiots, so easily manipulated. But they do have psychological models, and they really know what they're doing, don't they?
You got that right, yes, Mark. Very nice, very nice, very nice. Let me bring back Giuseppe. Giuseppe, go ahead and add some further thoughts of your own.
Hello, hello. I'm here. The I thought that the observations that this is all mind control and that these young people especially, you know, everybody has a right to protest, but they refuse to look at facts or reality. It's all believing these lies, and they react so emotionally immature. I mean, Dr. Fetzer, you mentioned on the Real Deal, I think it was last night or the night before, about how Russell Wilson, this entitled elite, is like worried for his children. And there's like this insane, the real virus is this blame whitey. Ultimately, every individual has the right to make as much or as little of you as you want to.
Russell Wilson, most privileged and admired of all Americans, disgraced himself permanently. That was a despicable act by Russell Wilson. I've always been a big fan, but no longer. Russell Wilson is a monster pile of excrement as far as I'm concerned. It's really shocking, Giuseppe.
Well, this whole idea of political correctness, which is a censorship in culture and society where you can't say this, right? You can't say who really is behind this. You can't talk about the kosher sandwich other than, you know, very restricted venues like these radio shows, because Revolution Radio is a godsend for people who can think. And then you've got, beyond that, the virtue signaling. Like, this is just 21st century techno-bullshitism. Instead of wearing an actual slave collar, they enslave you by, you have to do this, you have to do that. And now the insane attack with the bioengineered release of the COVID-19 SARS-2 bioweapon. And thank God that nature modulates such things, and not that many people died from it. In fact, they're lying about the 100,000. There's probably maybe 40,000 or less, and most of them died from other things or died from mistreatment with the silly application of respirators and what have you. It's just insane. The only positive thing I can think of is that television distorts all this, and the vast majority of people are just sitting at home riding it out, and hopefully they will wake up. And I don't really care what color you are, because there's a lot of brilliant, bright black people, Mexican people, purple people, green people. Obviously, I'm being facetious. But everyone as an individual has the right to make something of themselves in this society, and that's what we have to fight for.
Giuseppe, thank you. We got three more callers standing by, and I want to get back to Brew, too. Meanwhile, let's get Bruce from Texas. Bruce. Bruce from Texas.
Yeah, hey, guys. Man, I don't want to be defeatist here, but I never, like, I think it was Paul who said, you know, it's unbelievable how this transpired so quick, and I looking for a place to go. I don't think there's any place in the lower 48 he can go that eventually isn't going to be swamped over by this Jewish Bolshevik revolution. I mean, I see Khmer Rouge part two coming up, you know. If you don't take a knee and if you don't kiss the feet,
bro,
of your black masters, you're going to get, you know.
We got 100 million armed Americans who aren't going to put up with this shit. That was not true in Cambodia, okay? There's a big effing difference. So I don't.
Oh, yeah. Steve, I got my own guns. Someone comes to my door.
Nonsense. We're going to take a stand here, and we're not going to let this happen. You got it? That's what we're going to do. We're going to take them out.
Well, I'm from the Alamo City, and I'm going down with the Alamo, but you know, you got to be realistic here.
Thanks, Bruce. Thanks. You're
right. Again.
Isn't being realistic.
Q. Don't forget Q.
let's see who we got. Paul. Paul, go ahead. Join the conversation, Paul.
Did you call my name?
Yes, I did.
Thank you very much, sir. I was raising my hand in class. First, I'd like to comment on what Brew was saying earlier. Talk about some pseudo-intellectual BS. Damn, you were laying it on thick today. I'm sorry, I had to work that in there. Chase, just out of curiosity, what town in the 805 is only 20% Caucasian, if you don't mind me asking?
Santa Maria, California.
I was in Santa Maria not too long ago. I don't know, a few years back. It can't be only 20%. I find that hard to believe.
I would look it up.
All right, Houston, 20%.
Go ahead, Paul. Go ahead. Give us more.
No. I mean, it just to me, I used to go down there. So where Chase lives, I was all around that area. It was generally, you know, Santa Barbara County was, and it's a big county, so there's a lot of smaller towns there. Generally, overall, Santa Barbara County is pretty white. Of course, you know, Santa Maria is a little different. It's an agricultural area. But what I would say to you, Jay, first of all, I feel you. I know exactly what you're saying. Just with me, you want to add on another 20 to 30 years of this kind of experience. There's a term that I came up with years ago. It's not original, but I just call them white suck asses. Okay, just despicable, pathetic, apologetic, you know, not proud, just almost in many cases ashamed of all, and it's all basically just put in their heads, right? Just brainwashing BS propaganda. Feel sorry for all the other races. When the reality and the truth of it, what I've never been shy of telling people for at least 10 to 15 years, is these people wouldn't enjoy a single item of technology without us. Most of these people weren't even capable on their own of inventing a nut or a bolt or a cardboard box.
Yeah. Whoever's doing the dishes, mute your mic, okay? We're hearing it all. Paul, are you in a car, Paul? Are you driving?
I'm in a truck, but it's right now. We're still. I'm not making any noise.
It's not that. It's just that your voice was more faint than normal. That's all. I wasn't suggesting you were in the kitchen. That was another. That's good, Paul. Look, I got Stardust Man standing by. I'm going to bring him for a minute. We'll get back. Stardust Man, go ahead.
Okay. All right.
Yeah, and most of all here on the station know me by my real name, Daryl.
Okay.
And, I proudly state that I was born and raised in North Dakota.
Yeah.
And yes, North Dakota is the one that did their own bank many years ago.
State Bank of North
and,
Dakota.
But what I would like to say about South Dakota, I'm not from South Dakota, but one thing I'm really, really proud of South Dakota, one thing I'm not proud of South Dakota is Mount Rushmore. But one thing I am very, very proud of South Dakota.
That's meaningless. It doesn't matter. Go ahead.
Yeah, so something I'm very, very proud of South Dakota. The same thing they're doing, they've been doing for several years now, is making the same carved out granite thing of Crazy Horse. Over.
Yeah. We know about that statue of Crazy Horse. Yes. Jack, any thoughts about any of the comments as they've been flowing by?
No, I mean, everyone's got a pretty good idea of what's going on. Yeah. The individual that was worried about, I mean, you're right. We can't, I've never said a word about giving up. I mean, I'm saying we have to do it with a group, though. We can't, if we wait for them to come to your door, it'll be a Katrina situation. It'll be right. Like the Boston bombing. You know, they'll be stacked six deep at your door, and they'll say, we know you have, six rifles and 15 handguns. Bring them out. And what are you going to do there? There's nothing you can do. So we just have to find a place. And I've looked at them. I mean, even New Hampshire is interesting, but I think South Dakota, and even being beside North Dakota, not too far away from Idaho, is an area where, you know, could support a lot of our type people, and it would have the law to protect it. And so,
yeah, but this is going to come down to 100 million armed Americans. I have no serious doubt. Corey, are you there?
Yeah. Good evening.
Go ahead.
Do you hear me? Okay.
Yes.
Okay. I was looking at the Ukraine Holocaust, which occurred around 1932-33. It's called the Holodomor, and one of the leaders of this Holocaust was a guy called Lazar Aganovich, a Jewish guy. And, 10 to 11 million Gulags and peasants were killed, basically.
Which Holocaust are you talking about? Of what nation?
Well, in Ukraine, in 1932.
Okay, Ukrainian Holocaust. Go ahead.
Yeah, it's called the Holodomor. And, basically, it was a fellow by the name of Lazar Kaganovich. I don't know if you ever heard of him, but he basically led this Holocaust. He basically starved to death 10 to 11 million Ukrainians. And when I look at people like Jerry Nadler or Chuck Schumer or Adam Schiff, I think of people like Lazar Kaganovich, that if Jerry or Chuck or Adam ever got into a position of power, I think a lot of us Anglo people living in North America, including Canada, would be in a lot of trouble.
Anglo-Saxons?
I think a lot of us would agree with that, Corey. I think those people you're naming, and Eric Swalwell and Nancy Pelosi, and a good God, Mad Maxine, who I think is advocating disbanding police forces all over the country. I mean, these are lunatics.
Yeah. Because I remember when the president was giving his statement to the, what do you call that in America? Gave his speech to America? What do you call that?
You mean State of the Union?
State of the Union, yeah. I remember seeing Chuck Schumer and, Jerry Nadler and Adam Schiff in the background leaning against the wall there near the back of the hall. And they, you know, when you were looking at them, you kind of felt their body language, they were up to something. They were kind of sneering and jeering.
Well, this was in the midst of the impeachment business, the nonsense, the horse shit of this impeachment, you know. Look, they're failing on all counts. This is the last, most desperate of all these measures to try to actually bring about anarchy in America. And I'm predicting it's not going to work either, but we're going to have to put it down. It is an insurrection, and incidentally, the Secretary of Defense seems to be coming around now to gravitating toward supporting Trump's use of the military to suppress all this violence. I think Trump actually has a handle on it, and I still have confidence, notwithstanding Jack is not so sure.
But my point being is that body language seemed to be saying that they were up to something.
Corey, yeah, that's old history. The problem is that's way back when, man. We're way past that. That fell flat.
But these are things that I'm thinking about, all the time, you know. Like, I'm thinking back, boy, they look pretty, they look like two Iagos.
Yeah, good. Okay, yeah, traitors. You're absolutely right. I want to bring back.
May I say,
I want to bring back Brute.
Yes. So, you know, you got all your players involved with this stuff now. You had, you want to take you back 2 years ago, or 3 years now, to 2017 when you had Senator Tim Kaine, Hillary Clinton's former running mate as vice president, when his son got arrested being a part of Antifa doing damage to Washington, D.C. or wherever he was at. He got arrested. Today we have de Blasio out of New York. His daughter gets arrested for joining the rioting and her participation. We got Ilhan Omar, who is allegedly, you know, we allow her into the country of the United States and become a person of Congress and power and this, and she's got a nefarious background. She might as well be a she may as well be called dual citizen as well, because she's more of a citizen of Somalia, even though she claims she can't go back there. She has great power and great wielding of what's going on in Somalia, where she's running her father and her and her whole family are involved in terrorism and so on. So she got her daughter tweeting out, "Oh, get your, here's the supplies you need in the streets of Minneapolis and elsewhere as you go and destroy and loot and kidnap and rape and murder." So we got all these cast of characters going on here. And then you got Ellis, Keith Ellis.
I know. Unbelievable. Attorney General. This is a guy who said Antifa, the Antifa handbook was striking fear in the heart of Donald Trump. What a POS.
Right. Well, he's also, you know, Muslim Brotherhood and all that. So he's part of, you know, whatever, Farrakhan and whatever. And in there, what they don't tell you is part of all that Farrakhan and Brotherhood stuff that they got going on is that they do want to declare themselves the supreme race just as well as much as the Jews or any of these other Chinese or any of these others want to do. So you got Ellis in the background. He's supposed to be the attorney general for the state. So now you got, this is going to go in front of him, this whole alleged Chauvin case. This is about as political theater as you had Parkland and the kid, oh, I forget his name offhand. The kid at
You mean Charlottesville?
No. Well, political theater.
David Hogg.
The alleged shooter in Parkland. You never hear about him. He's allegedly locked up, but you never hear anything about him. These people disappear. You know this kid was a shill. You know he's a little patsy for whatever acting job they hired him for. You never hear anything about him. And the same thing's going on with the Chauvin case. We don't know who Chauvin is. As Robert Revolt said, Chauvin, chauvinist. It's in your face.
Yeah, no, it was obvious. The name was contrived. He has declared that they have, they're bringing second-degree murder, but they're keeping third, and I think even involuntary manslaughter or something against the Chauvin and the other three cops for aiding and abetting, and they have to have the second degree to bring the other three cops in as aiding and abetting. But it seems to have pacified the crowd in Minnesota. They seem to be happy with that. I agree with you. This Keith Ellison is a rat. He's like Tony the Rat Fauci. He's another subversive who's trying to undermine civil rights in the United States. I agree with all that, Brew.
Ellison has his role. You see, what happens after these riots, they're going to introduce the second wave of the virus. Get back in your houses. They're going to lock you up again. Then you're going to have this.
I think the virus thing has all fallen flat, Brew. I don't think anyone's going to be played again. It's all bullshit. We have another caller from the 954 area code. Please give us your name and state and join the conversation. 954.
Thomas. I'm down in Florida.
Good.
Yeah. Possibly a little bit of light on the solution to what's going on. You know, we are in a battle, and you know, if you're in a battle that, you know, a serious, say a firefight, what you would do is you fall back to your most defensible position. I mean, you got to go back to where it's safe and where you know you can get your back against something with your other participants and fight. And what that really amounts to is your county. It's probably the largest political jurisdiction you could ever hope to control. And, of course, it's like the cellular level of the United States because you have the counties. The counties comprise the states, and, of course, the states comprise what we call the United States. And, you know, it could be, it could go virally, because if it was within the county, you could control it. At least you would be safe within your fortress county.
Well, what's important about the counties is they have sheriffs who are actually committed to upholding the Constitution. That's why you had this in Connecticut. They abandoned all their sheriffs. There are no sheriffs in Connecticut. So they could pull off this kind of stunt like Sandy Hook and not have any fear they were going to be exposed by law enforcement authorities, because the sheriffs would never have gone along with it. Jack,
hey, I know. May I interrupt just for a second? I would just like to mention when they assassinated Finnegan, that sheriff in the county that Finnegan was assassinated in, he was appointed. He was not elected. Over.
Okay, that's interesting. Yeah, Jack, I know you want to have some things to say. Go ahead, Jack.
Lively discussion. And, I wrote an article not too long ago about the sheriffs and what can be done in the state with the sheriff. I've written so many things I can't remember, but it was something about where the Constitution meets the people. But the problem we have with sheriffs is that most of them are not constitutional. I mean, they don't even understand the Constitution at all. And where you do have constitutional sheriffs, you've got one man, and in this situation, we need them immediately, but, you know, these guys can be voted out very quickly. It's a tough system in the United States to keep good people in a county, and you need more than just the sheriff, although the sheriff is the
highest but the authority. Sheriff can deputize, you know, as many as he wants, Jack. He can deputize half the county if he's so inclined.
He's allowed to make a militia.
I think the sheriffs can play an important role. I do believe the militias are going to make a difference here, too. And I just don't want all hell to break out. I think Trump is going to make some moves here. They're going to be rather important, if not decisive. I see more coming. Giuseppe, I know you're there with further thoughts. Please, Giuseppe.
Well, I was shocked that the original autopsy on George Floyd was honest, that he didn't really die of asphyxiation because he had cardiac issues. He had a lot of powerful recreational drugs in his system.
And then they
bring in a second independent autopsy that plays to the narrative they want, that, oh, he's such a victim. And it's just the level of lies that are being perpetrated to subvert the country. It's just insane.
That's why I commented on Michael Bannon's role in the, when the HSCA reviewed the assassination of JFK, and he completely covered up the massive blowout to the back of the head, which is described with mathematical precision in the official Bethesda autopsy report, which had been created by James Hume, who was in charge of the autopsy, though he'd never performed one on a gunshot victim before, with a cranial saw. They had a fist-sized blowout, obviously by a shot from in front. And he enlarged the wound to the whole back of the head so that it would look more like something that could have been caused by a shot from behind had Jack been leaning way over forward. Baden just covered it all up, reconstituted the head. There was no hole in the back of the head, just a tiny wound right at the crown. I mean, it was absurd, just absurd. That's Michael Baden. That's the guy they brought in. He's just a total fraud.
May I say something?
Yeah.
I would just like to say that if you're being choked and you cannot breathe, you would not be able to breathe saying, "I cannot breathe."
Yeah. And he said it about a dozen times. Right. I agree. By the way, let's see. Who Paul, did you want to come back in? Are you there?
Paul. I'm here, Jim.
Go ahead, add a few.
Yeah, how you doing, guys? I know we're getting close to the end of the show. A lot of good input.
So Grant, yeah, go ahead.
Thank you. Some things I'm on the fence about, but it's a lot of great information. See, our money is being completely debased. You have this, counterfeit money. You know there's a lot more. Fentanyl's going to be killing anybody. If Floyd was a patsy, and if they killed him once they were done with him, they may have used fentanyl patches or something to be absorbed through his skin right in the ambulance before he came back to. They had to do that within a minute, two, maybe 3 minutes, if that's what happened, I'm saying.
I think he was a party of it, and it was all staged, and he inadvertently, out of the stress, actually died. He had a very bad heart condition, and he had these drugs. I don't think his death was deliberate.
I do agree. I do believe it was all staged. He was part of it. I think he may have been reluctantly part of it, as just a little bit of what I'm thinking.
I don't think he was reluctantly a part of it. The guy's a crud. Did you hear about his part of his criminal record?
No, I know.
He makes porn movies, and he works security with a cop who had his knee on his neck. Give me a break.
Yeah, well, I only say that not because he was against the money or lying, but I think he may have been smart enough to know they might kill him. He wasn't sure.
He wasn't smart enough for anything. The guy was dumb as a post.
But that's not why I called. Basically, real quick, those pallets – If no one said it tonight, some of those pallets of rocks and
I know it's disgraceful. You think the mayors don't know they're delivering huge pallets of bricks and rocks all over their cities?
Yeah, but some of the one of the companies was found out. It's traced back to again Soros and Gates. That's the rare company, R Air. Okay, and that was what I wanted to add. But you know, our money is being drastically debased, and we're going over a cliff. We're about to hit the asymptote, okay? And I'm sure you know what that means, Jim. But what do you think, Jim? I don't know. I haven't heard you say if you thought these actually might be the Boston bombing actors, the guys in the
Oh, I've seen that photograph. They might be. They might be. You know, they move these crisis actors around all over the place. The woman who played the mother of Heather Heyer in Charlottesville, also played the mother of Victoria Soto in Sandy Hook, one of the fake teachers. I mean, it's just ridiculous how insulting they are about this. It's just,
yeah, and the last
our face.
Yeah, and the last thing I just want to note is, remember, they're trying to flood and be caught with counterfeit cash because they want another excuse to force us on the digital currency. But thanks. That's all I have to say, and great show.
Well, that's good. That's good. That's good. That's all good, Bill. Jack, go ahead. Your further thoughts. Jack.
I don't think you can kill a guy the way he did that. You can't kill somebody with your hand in your left pocket. I had my son get down on his in the same exact position. I put my knee and I put my hand in the pocket and tried to emulate or, you know, simulate the same thing. I couldn't put – the only possible way I could even hurt him is if I was somehow able to break his neck. But he told me that it was never without oxygen ever. And
well,
so,
you got two carotid arteries, see. I mean, it's not just one. You could suppress one with the knee, but the other's still functioning. And as was observed, if he can call out, "I can't breathe, I can't breathe," he can breathe. He was calling it out a half a dozen or more times.
Exactly.
You don't have to breathe in order to talk.
You wouldn't actually say you can't breathe. I mean, it's not the problem. You just pass out. I mean, I've had it happen to me many times doing martial arts.
Paul? Was that you adding there, Paul?
That's me. I mean, technically, in all technicality, you don't really need to take
talk.
But I'm not defending any of this, but Jack is right. That allegedly, if somebody kneels down your neck, they would have to have precision point to get on your artery, whatever, to cut you off. Yeah. So the best case scenario was to put enough pressure where they actually broke the guy's neck. Now, if you listen to Sean Hannity and all of his garbage, that Sean Hannity, because he's deep state or Sean Hannity, he's like, "Well, I take martial arts and I train and I know how this works and blah, blah, blah. And all my martial arts buddies." So Sean Hannity is full of crap. That guy needs to be arrested.
Sean Hannity is another dead ball.
I agree.
Prominence because he's just not that smart. And he does say stupid things, just as you're observing here.
These pallets of bricks were allegedly Acme Brick Company or whatever, and that's actually connected to Bill Gates and Berkshire Hathaway, which is Warren Buffett, the godfather of all this mafia crap going on. So Warren Buffett, you know, he's just as much a part of all this communism, corruption, Bolshevik stuff, and destruction of America as anybody else. He's got his assets lined up to take over.
I suspect
you're going to have the people that are going to ride the wave.
Hey, let me talk about go to dollarvigilante.com, and he puts up an article on how the private pathologist was the same pathologist they had to do the Jeffrey Epstein suicide investigation, and he came up with the and the private pathologist came up with the official narrative of asphyxiation at to go along with the narrative when the original autopsy.
He's not even dead, okay? That guy wasn't a cop.
Come on, hang on. We got another caller, Scott from California. Scott, join the conversation.
Hey, what's up, guys?
Well, I
just have a brief thing to say. Does anybody remember last year when Project Veritas came out with that video of the Joe Biden campaign staffer saying that if Bernie Sanders staffer that said that if Bernie doesn't get the nomination, that they're going to burn the cities down?
I'd be really surprised if Bernie Sanders supporters had anything to do with this happy horse yet. Very surprised.
You didn't see the video? It's a Project Veritas.
It
was the undercover of a Bernie Sanders staffer.
Okay, maybe I'm wrong. Rue, do you think there's any prospect Bernie Sanders supporters are involved in this? I find that hard to believe. Rue. Did I lose Rue? Paul. Giuseppe.
I think our greatest disadvantage is just like we're having a discussion as rational thinking adults, we're dealing with irrationality ranging from the immature, delusional rantings of the black underclass who think they're oppressed when they commit the majority of criminals, and the psychopathic irrationality of the kosher sandwich, the Zionist and the Bolshevik. I think that until we realize that there's no reasoning with these people, and how do we win? It's not going to be through talking it out.
I got an answer to how do we win. You ready? You want it?
Giuseppe, I'm very open to that being the case. You know, I think that there's such a division. I mean, it's like the country's schizophrenic. You got the Democrats who are living in a state of mass illusion about all kinds of matters. I mean, it's ridiculous. And then you have the rest of the more or less rational Americans, and I just don't see how we bridge the two. I just do not see. It's looking less likely that.
Hey, I'd like to sum it up if I could.
Go ahead.
I think what you're seeing here is an organized effort, and it's because they've committed treason, and they've got nothing left to lose, and they're going for the whole thing, and. That's what I have to say.
I think that's right on the higher levels, the political levels, that they have blown their cover. I do think Trump has been given these liberal mayors and liberal governors all the rope to show that they really could care less about their own people, that they're willing to sacrifice their cities and states to try to deny him re-election. It ain't going to work. I think in the brief period we have left, I want to give Jack the opportunity to say a few more words. Jack. Jack! You're great. All the callers are great. It's everyone else in the room. Back on Friday.
Thank you for listening to Revolution Radio.
This is the people's war. It is our war. We are the fighters. Fight it then. Fight it with all that is in us. And may God defend the right.
Warning! Warning!
We gotta stop them! They're gonna kill us all!
See how the trouble you've started?
Be they the government, be they industry, be they organized labor, be they anyone, or human beings.
Time when the operation of the machine becomes so odious, makes you so sick at heart, that you can't take part, you can't even passively take part, and you've got to put your bodies upon the gears and upon the wheels, upon the levers, upon all the apparatus, and you've got got to make it stop. And you've got to win the day to the people who run it, to the people who own it. And unless you're free, the machine will be prevented from working at all.
Revolution Radio of FreedomSlips.com, the number one listener-supported talk radio station, throwing ourselves upon the gears of the machine. Revolution Radio, where information never sleeps.
You called down the thunder, well now you've got it.
Right, you tell them I'm coming, and hell's coming with me, you hear? Hell's coming with me!
Revolution Radio!
Hello, my name is Mr. Rowe. I am the host of Reality Extraction on Revolution Radio at freedomslips.com. I utilize logic, intellect, and magic to methodically autonomize, vivisect, analyze, examine, study, scrutinize, and extract an essence of reality from a fog of illusion and confusion. You can find me on Studio B every Thursday at 1700 hours Pacific Time. That's 8 p.m. Eastern. No topic taboo, no subject too strange.